So I hope you enjoyed the video at the start today. As Harvey said, in just over 4 minutes, we saw a compressed but complete telling of the whole of the Easter week from Palm Sunday through to Easter Sunday, or Resurrection Sunday, as some know it. It was a most momentous week, crowned by the most momentous event in all of history. The Son of God, Jesus, the Saviour of the world, walks out of a tomb, and nothing ever be the same again. But before I go on from there, let's just backtrack a little bit. You see, last weekend we celebrated Palm Sunday and talked about Jesus riding into Jerusalem on a donkey and palm leaves and cloaks being thrown down on the road before him. And this didn't just fulfill the Old Testament prophecies, but what it did was it raised the hopes and the dreams of the ordinary person in the street for the arrival of the promised Messiah. This weekend, this Passover weekend, which is what it was leading up to, was the weekend when Jews remembered and celebrated their eventual freedom from the oppression of the Egyptians. That was the night, the most deadly of the plagues to affect the Egyptians, passed over their houses. Because blood had been painted onto the doorpost. The blood had come from a very special meal they'd been instructed to eat. And so they had this meal. They killed the sacrifice. There was a lamb they killed, and the blood was put on the doorpost. And ultimately, they traveled out towards the promised land. It was an event so special in the Jewish calendar that it was and still is celebrated annually. So here we are, we're in Jerusalem, and so much has been said and seen of this incredible new man on the scene, this man called Jesus. It's the things he does, it's the things he says, and maybe, just maybe, this Passover time, the promised Saviour, the one who has been promised since the beginning, is going to rescue the Jews again. He's going to rescue them from the oppression, from the tyranny of the Roman occupation. This is their earnest desire. This is their best wish. This is their hope. But of course we, with the benefit of hindsight, know that Jesus' kingdom wasn't being ushered in in the way that they're expecting. The one that they pinned their hopes on, the one that they could see fulfill the promises of old, was now arrested, beaten. There was a phony setup and a mock trial. And this Jesus is flogged, broken, attached by nails to a cross, and that cross is then hauled into place and dropped into position, jarring every bone in his body and causing severe acute pain. And there he is, left to die. Now let's be crystal clear on one thing. The Romans knew just what they were doing. They had perfected the art of killing people. And particularly this excruciating, torturing, humiliating death. In fact, it took so long for some people to die, they would break the legs of the victims in order to hasten death, to stop them being able to push up on their legs and get another breath. But with Jesus, they didn't need to do this. No, the Bible tells us he gave up his spirit, and he cried out, "It is finished." That wasn't a reference to his life. Spoiler alert, there's more to come on that. No, it is finished. It wasn't even the task for which I've come is finished. the language used is more the language of an accountant. Harvey just explained what it meant to be redeemed, the price is paid. Well, this is the language in use here. It is finished. This is not an athletics race. The debt has been paid. That's what it means. The debt has been paid. It is finished. And the Romans, just to make sure that Jesus was dead, shoved the spear in his side and blood and water poured out. And I'm told that this is a sure medical sign that Jesus was truly dead. Not fainted, not just a little bit weary, but medically, clinically dead. Now, can you imagine, just for a moment, can you imagine you're standing and watching these events unfold? And as Jesus died, very publicly, very visibly, your hopes of him being the promised Savior, the promised Messiah, your hopes die with him. Can you imagine, just for a moment, the disappointment, the failed expectations, the shattered hope? Because when you look up at a dead person hanging on a cross, I don't think many of them were thinking, don't worry, it's going to be okay. We got this. No, for them, all hope is gone because, after all, no one comes back from the dead. Do they? You see, things looked dark, full of despair. No idea how things would pan out. No idea how things could go on. No idea of what to do next. There was confusion, despair, anxiety, depression, and hopelessness. And yet, it wasn't that Jesus hadn't hinted, talked about, even told them what was going to happen. Explicitly, three times that we know about, as well as the subtle references to. I picked three verses out of the Gospel of Mark. You could also have taken verses on the same thing from Matthew and Luke. Mark 8 says, Jesus began to tell them that the Son of Man must suffer many terrible things and be rejected by the elders, the leading priests, and the teachers of the religious law, and he would be killed, but 3 days later he would rise from the dead. And as he talked about this openly with his disciples, Peter took him aside and began to reprimand him for saying such things. Then in Mark 9, verses 13 and 32, leaving that region, they traveled through Galilee. Jesus didn't want anyone to know he was there, for he wanted to spend more time with his disciples and teach them. And he said to them, the Son of Man is going to be betrayed into the hands of his enemies. He will be killed, but 3 days later he will rise from the dead. They didn't understand what he was saying, and they were afraid to ask him what he meant. Then in Mark 10, 32 and 34, it says, they were now on their way up to Jerusalem, and Jesus was walking ahead of them. The disciples were filled with awe, and the people following behind were overwhelmed with fear. And taking the 12 disciples aside, Jesus once more began to describe everything that was about to happen to him. Listen, he said, we're going up to Jerusalem, where the Son of Man will be betrayed to the leading priests and the teachers of religious law, and they will sentence him to die and hand him over to the Romans. They will mock, spit on him, flog him with a whip, and kill him. But after 3 days, he will rise again. And Jesus even said to them, this is in the Gospel of John, I have told you these things before they happen, so that when they do happen, you will believe. Now, if we're honest, we're all probably, to one degree or another, a little bit like those disciples, aren't we? We might know the truth. We might have read our Bibles. We might have heard Jesus tell us stuff, either through sermons or our own studies or through some videos or whatever. We might have heard it, but when the chips are down and things aren't going our way, and things look bleak, how easy is it to think, the hope is gone. But today God wants to remind you, the message from Deuteronomy is still the same as the message of 2022. He is a God who will never leave you or forsake you. So on that first Easter morning, when the ladies are rushing to the tomb, they want to anoint Jesus with oil, burial spices. When Mary confuses Jesus for a gardener, when the disciples are hiding away in a room somewhere, because after all, if they've done this to Jesus, they're known as his disciples. They're next on the list, aren't they? That first Easter, suddenly, when Jesus leaves the grave clothes behind and walks out of the tomb, he defeats death and sickness and disease. But something else got resurrected. Something else got resurrected. It was a new hope, a God-shaped, God-colored, God-smelling, God-sounding, God-tasting hope. Now, we might use that word quite lightly in our language. We hoped COVID would be over by now. We still hope the war in Ukraine will be over. We hope the sun is going to shine tomorrow as it is today. We hope there will be pudding after dinner. We hope Aston Villa or Manchester United or Liverpool or West Brom or whoever you support might just win this match. We hope we'll get chocolate today. You see, the dictionary describes hope as a feeling or a desire for a particular thing to happen, something we want to happen, something we cherish, something we desire with anticipation. But this new hope, this hope that comes when Jesus walks out the grave, that's a different hope. This is the God-shaped, God-colored, God-smelling, God-sounding, God-tasting, God-confident hope. That's what the Bible describes it as, a confident hope. Now, I might have a hope for chocolate or pudding, whatever, when I get home, but I have a confident hope that I'll be having a hot cross bun before I leave here. Why is that? Because I've seen it. It's been promised. And in the same way, when I look at what Jesus says in the Bible, I can see it. I've been promised it. I have a confident hope. The promises in the Bible means that we can trust what Jesus says. You see, if Jesus has said it, we can be confident that Jesus will do it. Everything he said he would do, he's done. That includes coming back from the dead. That includes sending his Holy Spirit to empower us after ascension. Mike talked about that earlier. It includes his assurance that he will be with us every single day. It ensures he offers his peace. It ensures he hears our prayer. It ensures he answers our prayer. Not always with a yes, but he always hears and he always answers. His promise is that he will be with us every single day. Hebrews chapter 6 and verse 18 says this. So God has given us both his promise and his oath. Imagine that, an oath from God. These two things are unchangeable because it is impossible for God to lie. Therefore, we who have fled to him for refuge, can have great confidence as we hold to the hope that lies before us. If we're honest, so many of our day-to-day hopes come to nothing, don't they? They can lead to disappointment. Actually, it might be colder tomorrow. It might even rain. There may be no pudding. There might not even be chocolate. And your particular football team might not win. And COVID is still with us, and the war in Ukraine continues. But we still have this promise. Therefore, this comes from the book of Romans, Paul's book to the Romans. Therefore, since we have been made right in God's sight by faith, we have peace with God because of what Jesus Christ, our Lord, has done for us. Because of our faith, Christ has brought us into this place of undeserved privilege where we now stand. And we can confidently and joyfully look forward to sharing God's glory. We can rejoice too when we run into problems and trials. For we know that they help us develop endurance, and endurance develops strength of character. And character strengthens our confident hope of salvation. And this hope will not lead to disappointment. For we know how dearly God loves us, because he has given us the Holy Spirit to fill our hearts with his love. I love that. I love that little chunk from Romans, just four verses. And it says, this confident hope will not lead to disappointment. So much of what we hope for leads to disappointment. This will not lead to disappointment. So how does this affect you? How does this affect you here today? Well, the Apostle Paul, later on in his book to the Romans, says this. He said, have you forgotten that when we were joined with Christ Jesus in baptism, we were joined with him in his death? For we died and were buried with Christ by baptism. And just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glorious power of the Father, now we also may live new lives. And since we have been united with him in his death, we will also be raised to life just as he was. So this Easter, as you walk out the doors at the end, munching away on your hot cross bun, I want you to imagine yourself walking out of a tomb, leaving behind the grave clothes, leaving behind the despair and the anxiety, leaving behind the things that make you doubt, leaving behind the casual I hopes, and picking up the confident hope you have in Jesus. And before I finish, if you're here this morning and you've never put your hope in Jesus, this is that you've been dragged here by something. This is the first time you've heard about a Jesus who wants to change your life, to bring you freedom, to release you from oppression. If this is the first time, I want to encourage you. Don't disappear without having a word with someone. We would love to introduce you to this Jesus. We'd love to introduce you to a Jesus who can allow you to leave the past behind and walk into a new future with a confident hope. This is the Jesus that we serve. This is the Jesus who is risen. This is why Easter is so special. It's new life, it's new hope, and it's a confident hope. I want to finish with three short verses. The first comes from Ephesians. Ephesians 1 verse 18, it says, I pray your hearts will be flooded with light so that you can understand the confident hope he has given to those he called, his holy people who are his rich and glorious inheritance. And then Romans 15 at the end, Paul says, I pray that God, the source of hope, will fill you completely with joy and peace because you trust in him. Then you will overflow with confident hope through the power of the Holy Spirit. And lastly, from the book of 1 Peter, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. According to his great mercy, he has caused us to be born again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. We have a living hope because of what Jesus has done, that he's walked out of the tomb. It's not a, I hope. It's a confident hope. And this hope will not lead to disappointment. Thank you.